Go ahead.
Okay.
No pressure.
This class, it's, you know, you've been calling it a hearing God class. That's a good general overview, but we want to give you a grid for, you know, what we're doing here. We actually, years ago, we took the Art of Hearing God class, which was a Streams Ministries course, and we took all the Streams Ministries courses, as you may know, and that was in the late 90s and the early 2000 decade, and we found that we were most impacted by that whole ministry during that time in several ways. And I'm going to just give you an overview of that right now so you'll know what kind of background we're coming to you with. And actually, by the way, I want to say that for those of you who took the prophetic class that we taught and those who took some of the healing classes that we taught, a lot of the material that we've already given you is gleaned partly from what we learned at Streams. And so, you know, some ways we've been digesting this and applying it for years, and we've given you the best of, you know, what we found that to be the most useful. And so then as we review the Art of Hearing God class, in order to give you another version of it that's not taking from their copyright, but giving you what we've learned from them, we found that we were surprised to see that it actually struck us as rather cumbersome in its current form, so that we already had somehow distilled it, and God is already repackaging it for this season, because he's always on the move, he's always doing something new. There's aspects of that class that were absolutely classic, time-honored, they would last the test of time, no problem. But what we found was that all the actual information in the charts and the diagrams were bogging us down on some level, and that what we were most impacted by was the stories that were told by the people who led the course, and those came from their personal lives. The scriptures would hit you in the face. I mean, that of course is time-honored. And then the other thing was the anointing that was in the room and over that entire ministry whenever we were doing anything with Streams. And that is something that you can't necessarily measure in a notebook or in notes or in information per se. There are two main things that we saw happening with that whole ministry. One was that people who were gifted in the spirit and moving in the gifts and not having a clue what was going on with them, they were feeling like they were going crazy half the time, and they were feeling ostracized because nobody recognized what they were doing. They were affirmed. Because they, oh my gosh, this is my tribe, you know, now I know I'm not crazy. And that ministry attracted many, many, many gifted people and rather creative people, because they're often the same people. And they were, some of them were kind of off the wall, actually. So, you know, a Streams gathering was known for being quite wild. And yours truly was among one of the wildest there. So, you know, it was a lot of fun and a lot of wonderful stuff was happening. But the other thing that really balanced this ministry out was the emphasis on character. In fact, they would tell us that, you know, they could have called this Art of Hearing God class How to Build Your Character, but nobody would want to take that kind of class. You know, nobody really wants to go and build their character or go through a lot of hard stuff in order to have come out better at the end. You know, they mostly just want to hear from God. You know, the other thing is we don't want to limit it to hearing. We handed out a sheet. I think you may have remembered it. We handed out a sheet in the prophetic class called Ways to Receive Revelation from God. And there's all kinds of ways to receive revelation from God. In fact, there's a lot of emphasis on seeing. You know, I will stand and see what the Lord will say to me, is one of the scriptures, you know. And I only do what I see the Father doing, you know. Cannot do anything of himself. So you want to make sure that you're not limiting it to just hearing. People think, well, I haven't heard an audible voice or I haven't heard anything. Maybe I can't hear from God. You know, people just automatically conclude that they're not hearing from God. Meanwhile, there's like huge list of different ways to hear. So if you, by the way, if we've handed out anything to you in the past that you don't have because you lost it or misplaced it, we brought extra copies tonight because we're not going to reinvent the wheel. Those handouts are still good, and they're good to review while we're doing this class. So again, the basic two main things that we got out of it was the affirmation of those gifts that were in us and we didn't know what to do with them, and the understanding of what to, how to handle them, but then also the character and the emphasis on the fact that if you have all kinds of gifts flowing in your life and no strength of character, it's not going to work. It's like a burst wineskin, basically. We want to have that strong, supple wineskin for the wine to be able to flow. The other, and in that context of understanding character, I want to say that one of the best things to get out, that we've got out and out of that course was, and all of their courses, was a consistent emphasis on process. There is always a process that we go through. In fact, they talk about how you're called in to do something special for God, and then you think, oh, yes, great, I'm going to go into ministry right now. And usually the process of preparation till you're mature enough to handle it is years and years and years, sometimes decades. And it's a pattern that's biblical. So the emphasis on process is key to understand, and people often their faces up close and looking at what needs to happen right now. And meanwhile, God wants us to zoom out and go, look at the big picture. What am I doing overall? I've got you in my process. It takes a while to mature. And in fact, different plants mature at different times. You don't want to expect you're going to bear fruit instantly. Some may bear fruit right away. Some may bear fruit after 9 years. You know, you don't know what the length of time will be before you bearing the fruit that you're supposed to bear. So the emphasis on process takes away a lot of pushiness and a lot of anxiety and a lot of angst over how am I doing in my growth, you know, that kind of concern. So that's very important to remember, the context. Trying to think if there's anything else that I really want to point out in terms of the overall grid. Within that process, the importance of hidden victories and hidden success is so crucial. And the importance of if something is going on around you that is upsetting you, or this is an interruption in what God's doing, or no, this isn't supposed to happen, to the habitual understanding of always going to God and saying, God, what are you doing in this? Never mind what's that person doing to me, or how come, what's wrong with me? You know, instead of blaming ourselves or somebody else, God, what are you doing?
Which is what we did when I told you in the beginning about that church. Well, okay.
It's God, not about if the,
did, yeah. You know, we're pretty confident this date we're supposed to teach there. So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. It's always about what he's doing. In fact, the question, I think we may have even shared it with you in the past, is what is it in me that you allowed this to happen in my life? You know, what is it that you're after in me? What is it you want to teach me, God? You know, so it's like you're always going to him instead of thinking, oh, this isn't right. Well, it may not be, but you're like, God, what are you doing? Always coming back to that main question. That is one of the crucial things we got out of that class. The other main thing I want you to keep in mind is the Art of Hearing God was a 101 class, and then they had a prophetic class that was the 102 class. It was more practicum, you know, a lot of practicing, just practicing giving words to one another, practicing. And the emphasis being on process and exercise, you get stronger when you exercise, right? You get more fit when you exercise. And as I said in the service yesterday, this could be called a spiritual identity workout, or core exercises for strength in Christ. You know, there is something that you're doing in the spirit when you're practicing in the prophetic, and that you are building up your core muscles in Christ, and you are building up your identity in him. And the only way to do it is to step out and do it. It's not going to happen just with your head alone.
Can I ask a question about what you run down there so far, just because I don't want to get so far
away
and forget, right, or, you know, that I'm asking an untimely question.
Mm-hmm.
You said not just hearing from God, but seeing God.
Oh, yeah, well, a whole list. We're going to go over that.
The question is about not just hearing God, seeing God. Yes, here's the thing with that. If I hear a voice, I'm going to turn around. What am I going to do? I'm going to look for where that came from.
You're still Sam.
Oh, that's Bob talking, okay?
Or whoever.
There. Oh, now I don't have to question who's talking. Did I hear Bob? Right? How many people you know, well, I'm not sure if I heard God or not. Well, if you see God, and, you know, you hear his voice, obviously, then you, oh, of course it's God. And so that's the aspect. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He did make some emphasis also on hearing. So I'm not discounting that. But I am saying, I want us too, to do what Jesus did in the way he did it.
Mm-hmm. And we will go over and review, once again, all the different ways that we can hear or see, sense God moving, you know, what he's saying, what he might be showing us. There are ways to understand what God's doing through all of our physical senses and a whole mess of spiritual senses and all different inside and outside clues. It's like a treasure hunt.
Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, there's more to come in that particular topic. Don't worry, we will go over that more. Yeah, cool. For sure. We'll be doing different sections on this stuff, you know, as we go along. But I just wanted to give you that overview. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to review before we move forward. One of the main things, and Jim will go into this today. I'm sorry, you have a question?
Well, I'm not so much a question, but I wanted to share something if it's permissible.
It's permissible. I just might have to
either repeat it or whatever.
Yeah. One of the things that I have learned in the last couple of years is to spend time fellowshipping with Father.
Yes, it's yeah, very important to spend time fellowshipping.
Sunday, or I'm not talking about at 10 o'clock when you go to bed. I'm talking about when you get up, during the day, driving,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, wherever you're going.
Yeah, the comment was made about spending time fellowshipping with the Father. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That, I'm playing around with the idea of writing a book called Spiritual Power Tools. That would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
It was shared with me quite some time ago that Adam, he spent time with Father.
Yes, mm-hmm. He did.
And he didn't have nothing to believe Adam, for. There was no problems.
That's exactly right. And
he always spent time with Father.
Yes.
And that's how you get to know someone.
That's how you
and
get
if
to
you
know
don't
someone.
Spend time with them, you don't recognize their voice or their mannerisms and all that. Exactly.
The comment yeah. was made for the audience here. The comment was made that Adam was known to spend time with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very intense and good basis to start.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other main thing that we want to share about what we got out of all those classes, and again, I said the one-on-one was the informational class, largely speaking, even though there were a lot of exercises in it, but then the 102 was practice, practice, practice. Similarly, the 201, the dream interpretation class, was an awful lot of information about dream interpretation. The 202 was practice, practice, practice. It basically would throw you in the pool and you'd say, okay, now you got to swim. That verse about the maturity that we get by reason of use, the exercising of all of these things that we need to understand better, it's not going to get better unless we exercise it, unless we spend time doing it. And so we will incorporate in this class lots and lots of exercises, and they're fun. They're a lot of fun. You've had some already, you know, but and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Well, it's a lot of fun. There's also going to be a little more emphasis on understanding the difference between soul and spirit. Now, some people think, oh, well, the soul is bad. You need to sort of obliterate it in order for the spirit to come through. Well, that's not true. Your soul needs to be nurtured, too. It's just that your spirit needs to rule over soul and body. So we'll go into that, too, as well. The main obstacle that we have seen over a long period of time, what we have seen when it comes to being able to receive revelation from God or not, the main hindrance that we've seen is hardness of heart. And that's what Jim is going to go into today. And it's not what you think it is. A lot of people think of hard-heartedness as being, that's a mean person. Well, no, it's not. There's all kinds of wonderful teaching on the heart when it comes to healing ministry, but it's also absolutely crucial. Our heart is absolutely crucial when it comes to receiving from God and receiving what he wants to show us. And we don't even realize some of the most generous people out there have developed hardness of heart and unbelief and all kinds of stuff that gets in the way of them hearing from God or seeing what God's doing, simply because they may have been hurt along the way or have been confused and haven't been trusting their own position in the Lord. They're not sure who they are in him. But the thing is, to develop that openness of heart, we have to be able to receive. And that's scary sometimes, to be able to receive. People can give, but having to receive, it's like a little more daunting. So I'm going to hand it over to Jim now, because this is where God has been working him over. So he'll tell you more about that.
So I want to say up front, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, because I'm guilty of this, okay? So, and that's why God's having me teach on it, because I'm in process of being healed. But
he reported to me gleefully one day, I have hardness of heart. And I'm like, well, I could have told you that.
Yeah,
he was so excited.
My wife is here to testify. Yes. So anyway, hardness of heart has stricken all Christians in some area of their lives, according to Andrew Womack. He said, this is what keeps us from hearing the voice of the Lord and being led by him in our everyday lives. I thought that was in fact, he wrote a book on the hardness of heart. And we want to turn to Mark chapter 8, because I want to make some points about what it looks like. Now, in this chapter, Jesus has fed the 5,000. And then what happens is, they get into the boat. When they go to the other side, and there's a big storm, and that's when you see Jesus walking across water, and they were freaked out by that.
That's Mark 6.
That's Mark 6. So I'm going to start with Mark 8. We'll go back to Mark 6. Mark 8, verse 15. He charged them. Now they've been in the boat. They get to the other side. He said, he charged them, saying, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now they reasoned among themselves, saying, ah, it's because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Now do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? I'm going to get back to that in a moment. But when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. and within another week. When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said seven. So how is it you do not understand? Now, five symptoms of a hardened heart, verse 17. They were unable to perceive, unable to understand, unable to see, unable to hear, and this one has all the bells and whistles on me, unable to remember. Unable to remember. That's why it was been so hard over the years for me to memorize scripture, for instance. But these are inabilities in the spiritual realm, and they speak to the heart. I mean, they knew the facts. They knew the facts. Well, yeah, we had 12 baskets. Well, yeah, we had 7 baskets. Yeah, we fed 5,000. Yeah, we said. They knew the facts. The facts didn't change things, even though they knew them. So it doesn't matter what we know. It's what we think on that controls our hearts. Now, I'm going to go back to Mark chapter 6. And go back to the story. They've just fed the 5,000. Verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. They were in the will of God. He had to force them into the boat. They wanted to stay with him. But they were... You can't get any more in the will of God than they were. Okay? And when he'd sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. Now understand, this is a two-hour trip, and they've been at this for 9 hours. Okay, so I'll give you a perspective.
It's not that big a sea.
Not that big a sea. And when they saw him walking on the water, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were troubled. That's another clue. If you are shocked or amazed or surprised at a miracle, it's probably an indication of a hardened heart. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just so you could know. It's like, okay, God, examine me so that we can deal with this and I can hear you. Not. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad, or you know, I'm not interested in that.
And that amazement.
I want to call forth the image of God in you.
The amazement is not the same as wonder. You know, I mean,
right.
They were freaked out, but having wonder in what God does is fine. I mean,
it's
wonderful
fine.
To have wonder.
Yeah. Wow, that was way beyond what I expected.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, for they saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. See, they were relating more to the natural than the supernatural at that time. And they knew about the loaves. They were there participating in it, but they didn't get it. Yes?
Is it possible that these disciples, being seamen, knew that there was a storm coming that night, why they refused to go in the first place?
It's quite possible. They were fishermen. They would have possibly seen things coming. The question was asked, could they have seen the storm coming?
I actually was heard that on the Sea of Galilee is known for having storms come up very suddenly, unpredictably. So they may not have known, but maybe they did. I don't know.
It's quite possible they did. But Jesus had to tell them, get in the boat and go.
He commanded them.
So, like I said, yay or nay, they were in God's will, storm or no storm. And, you know, they could have been thinking about it. I mean, not pointing fingers at them either, but, you know, well, what was that all about with the loaves and fishes? You know, they could have been talking among themselves about that. But, you know, maybe they were talking about, oh, my gosh, it's going to take us 2 hours to get there. Who knows?
Well, it says that they considered not. In other words, they weren't even thinking about the miracles
right.
that he had done.
No,
right.
They were
thinking about this storm. It's right in their face.
They're thinking about something else, right.
That's why I said, you know, the importance of zooming out to the big picture is helpful on you or in
right.
situations
so,
like that.
A hard heart is characterized by an inability to perceive spiritually. They knew the facts. And when things are perceived spiritually, a hard heart will keep a person from understanding the few things they can perceive. Not remembering is a major indicator of a hardened heart. And, you know, like I said, it's my besetting sin, if I want to call it that. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to talk about what do we do with this hard heart thing. And where's it come from? Well, where's it come from? What are you considering? Well, let me put it in modern terms. How are you considering all the wonderful dialogue that's going on regarding the politics of this nation? Or are you considering what God's Word says? Are you listening to social media and responding to your Facebook? Or are you releasing what God says? Are you paying attention to what's on news sites? Or are you finding out from God, what are you doing? Okay, you see the distinction? I'm not out to point fingers. I'm saying it's easy for us to get that way. And as I said, I'm a prime candidate here. My wife can testify. She's here. It's on the microphone, so, which is why I can erase it. Anyway.
It's probably mutual.
Yeah, right. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, that's what we want to do. Harden not your heart. See,
yeah.
It's something we do. It's not something done to us. As in the day of rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they'll always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. See, whatever you focus your attention on will dominate you. Let me say that again. Whatever you focus your attention on will dominate you. So an evil heart of unbelief, verse 12 there, comes from hardening your heart. Your heart can become hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Again, what are you paying attention to? Okay? You hear testimonies about guy guys like Smith Wigglesworth, for instance, who did amazing stuff, raised at least 14 people from the dead, all sorts of miracle healings and stuff. Some people said he was pretty gruff, but the thing you got to understand about Smith Wigglesworth is that, and I'm not saying you got to do this too, but First of all, he only learned to read when he was an adult. His wife actually taught him to read. And God had to help him with that. And the only book he read, literally the only book he read, was the Bible. He didn't read newspapers. He didn't allow them in the room where he was if he was going to pray for somebody. Because he didn't want to be distracted. Okay? He was hardcore in that way. Right, Ron? Did he miss a few things from not reading paper? Maybe. He missed a whole lot, you know. It's like Andrew Womack said, you know, he probably missed maybe a half a dozen things that would have helped him in his ministry, but he probably missed a few hundred thousand things that would have hindered him, too. So.
He was aware of what you did.
That's just one example. John G. Lake was another example. We think, oh, he did so much healing and stuff. Well, yeah, but he was pretty careful about what he paid attention to. So, what you focus your attention on will dominate you. And you'll find this out if you ever decide to really take a Sabbath and turn off all your electronic devices. By the end of the day, you'll be pacing the floor and, you know, I'm guilty and all that kind of stuff, but you'll realize, wow, I need to do some detox here.
This is why we don't have a TV and why we don't bombard ourselves with news all the time. You know, there's proactive action you can take in that department.
Yeah.
And another way to put that is what you focus on will, you'll have more of it. You know, that you'll attract more of that.
Yes.
That's one of the clues that makes it easier to fellowship with Father during the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier to fellowship Father during the day. So going back to Mark 6, the reason their hearts were hardened was because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They neglected what God had done in their presence. It did not give it priority, in other words. It's important to give what God is doing priority. We're at a point in time where you can't dabble in this stuff anymore. You gotta give it priority in life.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 says about Abraham. Abraham's an interesting fellow. You know, what you don't consider, what you neglect, is what you're hardened to. Abraham says if he had been mindful of that country from which he came out, he might have had opportunity to return. He didn't consider going back. He wouldn't allow it. He could have gone back. But he came into the land of promise, which at the time he got there was in a famine. Some promise. And he's the one to help bring it out of famine by digging all the wells. He's the one God used. And it also says in Romans 4, 18 and 19 about Abraham that he considered not, again, what did he pay attention to? It wasn't the fact that he was old. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, not yet either the deadness of Sarah's womb. Was she 99?
She was 90, he was 99.
And by the way, Abraham had more than two kids. Because he married another woman named Keturah. And had a few more kids. So, you and I have our spiritual receiver dulled if we keep it tuned to something else. You were designed by God to hear him. Now, there is a purpose for the hardened heart. The purpose of the hardened heart is to harden us to sin. So that we're not, you know, something happens, we see something and we're not impacted because we're not tempted. It's not in our grid.
There's another example of the usefulness of a hardened heart in the sense that a lot of the time people develop a hardened heart as a protection from things that they were vulnerable to at a young age. And it's a survival mechanism, and not as a gift from God. It's sort of like when somebody is so traumatized that they shut down on the inside. That is a protection for them so that they are not even traumatized even worse. Now, the only problem is that that very survival mechanism, which is a gift, kicks into gear and stays in place beyond the time of the trauma or the danger. So that a lot of the time, just growing and maturing in Christ has to do with letting go of the old survival mechanisms and realizing, oh, if he's covering me, I'm safe now, I'm a grown-up now, I can let go of that old stone wall that I've erected around myself and be open to him because he's good, and you know, he will sift out the stuff that I don't need to to have. So it's also a survival thing, you know.
Yeah. So the cure for a hardened heart is to commit our hearts and our minds to the Lord. And it's not a passive thing. I mean, you're going to drift off, and you catch yourself, and it's like, whoops, wait a minute. What am I thinking about that for? This is what the Lord would have. Or, oh my gosh, I'm behind on my bills. I'm not going to be, whoops, wait a minute. God's word says this. And you could grab your brain and bring it back. And I think it's very interesting that the Word of God says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because I feel very often like my body and my spirit have to double team my soul to get it to line up, my brain to get it to line up. And I have to say out loud, this is what the word of the Lord says. So you need to line up with that.
That's why so many disciplines involve the body, such as fasting or silence or, you know, something that you actually do with your body, or forms of worship that involve the body, lying prostrate or raising your hands. You know, there's different kinds of things we do with our body so that our body will help our soul line up with our spirit and with God's spirit.
Or, you know, I had this prophetic word that was given to me, and this is what I don't know what I can't do. This is what I want to do, but I can at least do this much. And God will open up more. So that's how you begin to hear God easier and easier. And just remember, I'll leave it with this. Blessed, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, get off Facebook. Hello. Or so, a lot of social media that's like,
hey, but you told me to put my website up on Facebook.
Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So, what you pay attention to will dominate you. Okay? That's all I have on hardened heart. You know, just to be aware, if you're having trouble listening to God, start there. Don't worry about faith, because I'll tell you a little secret. You have enough faith. You know the Lord. You have enough faith to move mountains. You have enough faith for miracles to happen. God's word says you have been given the measure of faith. And since you only need enough, you know, the size of a mustard seed to blow things up, it's more than enough.
So in other words,
the issue isn't faith. The issue is Abraham didn't, actually you probably have more faith than Abraham even, but Abraham dealt with his unbelief. You know, it's like, you ever see those old-fashioned, you go to those county fairs, agricultural fairs, where they have teams of horses or oxen pulling against each other, whichever stronger pull? Well, You have faith, which is ready to pull, or you have unbelief, which is ready to pull. If you don't worry about your faith, it's there. Deal with unbelief. Deal with the hardness of heart, which causes unbelief. Because the unbelief means you've been paying attention to something else besides God.
It's all about your focus.
And you may not realize you're doing that.
Yeah.
And so you have, that's why you go to the Lord. Okay, where did I miss it here? What, you know, things are supposed to flow. If I'm in this room and it's dark, I don't question whether there's electricity available. I question what made it stop flowing. In the same way, we don't have to question whether there's power for somebody to be healed, whether there's enough for miracles to happen, whether God loves this person enough to take care of their needs. We need to find out, where's the light switch that I can turn on? Where did it get turned on? Or who cut the wire? How did the wire get cut?
You've seen also lots and lots of examples in Scripture that emphasize the heart. The parable that discusses all the different seed that falls on all the different kinds of the ground, you know, that is all about the heart. And that parable is so crucial to understanding all the other parables and our life in general with Christ, to know what the condition of our heart is. You know, the seed falling on the good soil is, you know, the way God's word can go into our heart and actually take root there. But there's all different kinds of conditions, and that's a whole other teaching, but I wanted to mention that because it's so crucial to see how much emphasis he puts on the condition of our hearts. And it's not about, you know, you can't just, no matter what, how good that seed is, and no matter how wonderful that word is, that, you know, if it goes into the heart and then it's choked out or washed away, it's not going to take root. We've seen over and over again in the people that we've mentored and taught how they're so excited to receive the word and so excited to get good at hearing things, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't know if I can tell what God's doing or not. You know, I don't know if this is God or the enemy. And I don't, you know, well, you guys can do, you know, can tell better than I can what God's doing. And I'm thinking, now, what made them doubt so quickly? And it's often because the word got choked out or it got washed away or their heart was still hardened because of being around a lot of other people who are thinking a certain way and focusing on certain kinds of teachings that are different from what God is really saying to them. It's not. There's all different kinds of reasons for it, but we see a lot of the time how people spring up and flourish and then, wait, what happened? I thought you knew how to do this. Like the word, you may have told this story, Jim, but the word, the time we were practicing and the two women gave words for each other, the one about the house on the water.
Oh, yeah.
You should tell that story because it's a great example.
We're doing this practicing how to hear God. So we had one woman say, I just couldn't hear God. Now, both of them, by the way, were friends of ours and in our small group. Well, I just couldn't hear God for so-and-so. Well, I said, well, you didn't get anything? Well, I kind of got an impression that I saw this woman in front of a picture window. It's like she was looking out at the ocean.
Again, seeing. She saw a picture in her mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right then, the other woman walks in the room and says, oh, yes. I love the ocean. I wanted to buy a house by the ocean. I'm selling my house, and I'm trying to figure out where I should move. And I would love to have a house by the ocean. So you have a woman who didn't believe that God spoke to her combined with a woman that didn't believe God loved her.
And both of them were having a hard time receiving in different ways. And they both thought that it was a dud. And it was a live wonderful word that from one to the other. It was a perfect thing. In fact, that other woman ended up moving down near the water.
Well, actually, before that, she moved to the mountains. So I, you know.
The other one was an example of when you were getting a word for the healing service, where he says, you got all these different words of knowledge that you want, and then you want to share that one. That's a good one.
I was asked to preach at a church, the church I belong to. And so God gives me these words of knowledge. Now, when I get words of knowledge for healing, I feel it in my body, okay?
That's he gets, quote-unquote, holy sympathy pains.
That's what I call to people. They're like spiritual sympathy pains.
So he doesn't have any of his own pain, so it works for everyone.
So I get this thing. Somebody had a problem with their left elbow. Nobody. I got 150 people in the room. Nobody. Somebody puts their hand up. Well, I have a problem with my right elbow.
We were wondering if Jim was spiritually gifted in a dyslexic way.
I'm like, okay, God, we'll work on that. Pray for somebody with the right elbow, okay? This is what happens to teachers. So I'm going to go with it, God. Okay, there's somebody, you're having a problem with your right, it was your right shoulder. And I'm pointing, right? I have a problem with my left shoulder. At this point, I'm up there, now I'm making a fool of myself.
Yeah,
I'm up there and I'm thinking to myself, God, when did I get dyslexic? But okay, so we pray for that. And by the way, they got healed, for the left shoulder. Well, somebody's got a problem with their heart. You got an issue with your heart. I don't think anybody came up for that. It's like, oh, okay, praise the Lord, God, I'm a fool for Christ. If that's what it takes for somebody to get healed, yeah. I don't like it, but okay. I accept
this was
it.
Our training, basically.
All right?
Yeah.
The service gets done, and this guy comes up to me and says, hey, I want to talk to you. He said, every one of those places you talked about, the left elbow, the right shoulder, and I have a problem in that area. What do you think it means? See, I had a word of knowledge.
Now here's.
I was kind of relieved, quite frankly, that I was right, but.
At these kinds of meetings, by the way, we learn that. If let's say you don't have one of those issues going on, but you go up for prayer anyway, it's kind of distracting from the glory of God, what God wants to do in that meeting. And in contrast, if you have all that stuff going on and you don't step up and receive, you're detracting from the glory of God there. You're depriving God of his ability to move forward and to heal.
God wanted to love on him, and that person wouldn't let him.
So in that case, it was that guy's hardened heart that prevented him from receiving right in the middle of the service.
There was an example that I heard a teacher give one time about allowing God to use you. When you hear God speak, do what you hear him say, no matter what it is. And the question was, if God told you, if we all were quiet and God spoke to us, and we let God speak to us, and he said to you, this is what I want you to say, raise your hand and say, God spoke to me. He said, I'm the humblest person in the room. And they said, how many people would let God say that to them and then say it? Not too many people would, because they would think that was an arrogant statement. But if God told you to do something, that's not arrogance.
There's another example where I went up to a woman and I said, I have a sense that you're grieving something, or there's a sadness about you that God wants to touch and relieve. Is there anything that's making you sad today? And she looked at me kind of funny and she went, no. And then I thought, oh, well, I was going to pray for her if we needed it, but I just had that sense, and again, my way of receiving from God, and especially in those days, was more feeling what other people were feeling, so I could feel her sadness. But maybe I thought, well, maybe I made it up, But then she came back to me a few days later and she said, you remember when you came up to me and you asked me if I was grieving or sad? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, I just want to apologize to you because I really was, but I didn't want to admit it. But sometimes it takes a while for people to get
right.
to process something. So that's okay. But, you know, he'll use all that kind of stuff to train you if you're stepping out and it doesn't look like it worked. Don't worry, because God will use that to train you in, you know, tuning into him no matter what goes on.
You also, I think I've told this story, but you also have to expect that if you are stepping out in the Lord, that God loves you.
Yeah.
And he may back you up. And because you're taking a risk and you think you hear from God and stuff, he may say, it may be something that may not have happened, but because you spoke it, God will back you up.
And he'll use it.
I'll give you an example of what I think happened. I was going to speak at a women's conference. It's kind of a funny story. All women, I was asked, the reason I was going to be there was to apologize to women on behalf of what guys have done to them. Okay. That's really
powerful.
What I was saying.
It was powerful. Very powerful.
So, but I didn't go up the first day because, and when I did get there, the women were kind of spooked out by this guy walks in, you know.
They're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, right. So I kind of hid, not kind of, I did hide as much as I could behind a curtain, but you know. So when I finally came up, and I'm asking God, I'm supposed to give words of knowledge. I'm supposed to give prophetic words. That was the deal. Now I'm driving, this is in Sturbridge. I'm driving up there, and God, I got nothing. Nothing. Okay? And I'm on my way there. I'm supposed to have something, and you know. And I kind of get this impression, it's like trying to see through static. You know the TV. I kind of get this impression there's some woman sitting on the right side over here has a white blouse. That's all I got. And that's pushing it. Okay? And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do with this? So I get up there, and I'm like, okay, and guess what? There's only one person in that whole room with a white blouse on, and she's sitting on the right side. Okay, God.
Yeah.
That woman in the white blouse.
This woman in
the
white blouse. Yeah, Denny Kramer thing. It's a woman in a white blouse. I'm trying to work it, you know. God's, you know, I just get a sense from God, whatever you've been praying for, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever you pray for today, the answer is yes.
Here's what Jim did not know about the woman in that white blouse. Two things. First of all, the woman was just about to come to that evening session, went right back in, and said, excuse me, I just got to change my blouse. So she went in and changed her blouse at the last minute before she came to that
just
session.
Just before she came and sat
and
in that seat.
Number two, that woman had come down from Maine as one of our main intercessors.
Yeah,
she
didn't,
was
didn't know that.
On her face for the entire conference praying for every woman in that conference by name, individually, going through with the whole list of women who were attending that, and she was praying for breakthrough for every single one of those women. So the word that Jim had, that he didn't know what, you know, it looked like just a really basic word, God's answering your prayers. You know, the answer is yes to all your prayers. That's it. But that one word covered the entire intercession for the
entire
conference.
And I believe God is the one that spoke to her heart, says, you know, you need to change your blouse.
Yeah.
I believe in my heart of hearts, God covered me.
Yeah.
So we're going to switch gears now. And I want to read you a brief story. This is in a book called The Healing Life by Agnes Sanford, who was way ahead of her time. She's a spirit-filled
She was
a wife of an Episcopal priest, but she's spirit-filled, hardcore follower of Jesus. And she had a way of praying for people, and she had an understanding that was at least 50 years ahead of her time. We could understand it now, but she didn't have the language that we have. But anyway, Here's what she says. We become perfected in love by trying to do this. Now, the thing about hearing God is the whole point is to fall in love with Him, not just to be right. Because God is love, and you want to be drawn into that. That's why people get addicted. We were made to be addicted to God and His love, but they get other things in the way. That's what addiction comes from.
I was in that place just before Jim and I got together back in 99, and I was absolutely head over heels in love with God, and I said to somebody, once I fell in love with Jim, I said, guess what, I'm in love, and they're like, yeah, I know, and I said, no, it's a real guy this time, and they laughed and laughed, but it was Jim, but they knew me as
she's been cured since then.
So yeah. Anyway, I want you to read that passage.
Right. We become perfected in love by trying to do it. The method now, I want to show you what her method is for doing that, and then you're going to do it. And you're going to practice on Pastor Clay because he could use this. The method is so simple any child can learn it. It's merely, this is very similar, by the way, to what Smith Wigglesworth did. It's merely to connect in the spirit with the love of God, send that love to the other person, and see him recreated in goodness and joy and peace. Now, let me give you a couple examples of what that looks like, and I'll tell you about Smith Wigglesworth, and then we'll practice. Wow, I never saw anything work like that in my life, cried a little girl to whom I taught this method. Before I got up this morning, I lay there and thought of my mom like she is when she's all happy, and I said, thank you, God, because you love her and you're making her like that now. Then I thought, and by the way, thought, it's really intense, you know, looking at this person in your mind's eye. I thought that way about my dad, too, and my mom. She came up and kissed me, and she smiled so nice, I just stood there and looked at her. And my dad, he pulled out a quarter. This is 1947, by the way, when a quarter counts for something. He pulled out a quarter and said, here, go and have a good time, kid. Wow, I never saw anything like that in my life, this little girl said. Here's another example. A certain engineer, who, by the way, was her brother, was once surveying in a field when a bull charged his party with lowered head and thundering hooves. There's no tree to climb. There's no fence to jump. So the engineer stood his ground, filled his mind with the love of God, and projected it to the bull. I'm God's man. You are God's bull, he thought in silence. God made both of us, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I say there's nothing but loving kindness between us. The bull stopped abruptly. For a moment, he looked uncertainly, as if confused. Then he wandered off and lay peacefully under a bush. And all that day, as the men prospected in the field, he grazed quietly behind them as if he enjoyed their presence. Will you tell me what you did to that bull? Asked a farm boy who was holding the rod for a surveyor. That was a mad bull if I ever saw one. Will you tell me what you did to him? I read that story and I tried it on the two yappy dogs that were behind our house when we used to live on Gold Street. And I would point to them and I'd say to them, that's enough. You're a good dog, and you need to settle down. And I would project on them the presence of God.
I can't wait to try that in my neighborhood.
It took about a week, but it was so funny. The first time that happened, they were like, what? You know, and one of them couldn't take it because they were up, they had to go upstairs and it'd be above our fence. One of them couldn't take it, ran down the stairs just to keep yapping, and the other one stopped. But I kept, every time they did it, I kept doing it. Now you're a good dog. And the owner noticed within a week and a half, you know, the dogs
yeah,
have been
getting better.
So
but we didn't
much
tell
better.
What they were doing.
Because I released to them the love and the presence of God, and also stood my position as a son of the Most High. I'm a son of the Most High, and you're a creature. You've been created by God, and you needed to settle. That's how it works. So, hearing God involves doing as well. Yes?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you released words of faith?
At the dogs, yes.
At the dogs.
I released words of actually faith and authority in the Lord at the dogs.
And you spoke words that your ears could hear. You released the word of God's power into their life.
Yes. And I released in my mind's eye at the same time, released like a light beam, the glory of God, the light of God in me, to them. So that it chased away anything that they were influenced by.
Some of you may have done this without even realizing it, just by loving on people and you're praying for them or,
so,
you know,
yeah.
Extending
so,
God's authority.
I've been driving with the wind.
Smith Wigglesworth said this, okay? This is another variation. Smith Wigglesworth said this. Not too long before he died, one of the guys he was discipling said, "How do you do that? How do you have all these miracles?" He said, "I go up, I go down, I go up. I go up. I put my hand in the hand of Jesus." So was he using his imagination? Well, okay. However you want to. Then I come down, still holding his hand, and I put my other hand on the person and allow the glory of God to flow through me. When that person is healed, not if, when that person is healed, then I go up and I praise the Lord. In the same way, I go up, I receive, which is what she said, I take in the love of God.
Step into him as we were teaching.
I taught, you know, step into Jesus. And bring that back with me and release it on this person that I'm praying for. And see them with the light of God around them. And see the changes that happen because of that. And I go up and I praise the Lord, but I'm really in two places at once. There and here.
So you might think of it as completing
that makes
a circuit,
sense?
You know.
Basically, what you're saying is that you and I are a conduit.
Yep.
I am saying you're a conduit, yes.
The word of God's power, because we don't have any, flows through us to a person that has a need.
That's exactly correct. Another way to say that might be that you are the place where heaven and earth meet. Your heart.
Mm-hmm. So
and Scripture says, "Lift up your head, O ye gates." You are the gate.
And if you are a conduit, the various issues that people have with how good they are at any given moment or how much faith they have, quote unquote, or whatever. All those issues are really beside the point. Or what mood you're in, or what, you know, whether this or that condition is in play in your life. None of those things matter, because if you are holding on to Jesus and he's moving through you and you're in him and he's in you, it doesn't matter how much of anything you have if you're willing to be that conduit.
Yes, we are talking about what Jesus said. I'm in him, he's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the Father, and I'm in his. Since he's in the Father, then I'm in the Father.
And yes, we would rather have him be able to move through us as opposed to have to move around us, because he'll, you know, if somebody has a need, he's going to want to minister to them regardless. But, you know, it's nice to have him be able to move through all the way.
Ephesians 3:20, yes.
That's exactly what she's saying.
Yes.
It says, now unto him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, through the miracle power that works through us.
Through us.
Yeah, exactly. It says it in his word. You got it.
See, if you learn this, then you don't have to worry about the gifts of the Spirit because you are operating in Christ.
In fact, there's been so much teaching in the church on, quote unquote, the gifts of the Spirit. And we found that a lot of people have our focus on, oh, I want to know what my gift is. And there's a gift inventory in every leader's meeting. Or, you know, there's all these different classes on what is my spiritual gift. Well, that we found is very limiting. Because, in fact, if he's in you and you're in him, everything that he's given is available.
Amen.
Everything. And it's not about... Oh, and, you know, the focus is not about us. It really isn't.
And you can speak with because you're in him, you could speak with the assurance that he is speaking through you, which is what we call words of knowledge, prophetic, revelatory, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
It all works off the same way. And so it takes the pressure off you, because you don't have to work it up. Oh, if I only had more faith, or, oh, I don't feel like it now. Well, no, I don't feel like it right now. However, if I go into the love of Christ, or actually love of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's in the Father.
And draw on that right now, that doesn't take too long to happen. The Father's like that if you'll just do it. He's like, yes, finally, you know. And draw on that, and then that is what comes out of me instead of all the vitriol that I normally have, you know.
It takes a lot of the pressure off and a lot of the ego.
It takes a lot of the
off.
Ego thing.
You know, it's not an issue when you
and
have that.
And if
focus.
Something doesn't happen, then the issue isn't, oh, I did something wrong. The issue might be, oh, was that flowing in me? Did I? What caused the flow to stop? Not, oh, I didn't have enough faith, or I should have prayed this way, or it's like, what caused the flow to stop? Because I felt the flow to me, and actually, when that happened, you actually feel when you hit a blockage. It's like, whoa, what's that blockage there? And then there's other things you might do, but so hearing God, if you are going into the Father, like what she described, going into the love of the Father, and then taking that, let it flow through you around this person, in this case a little girl did it around her parents, but the guy needed it to save him from getting hurt. You don't have a whole lot of time for this to happen when a bull is charging you, by the way. Okay? You don't have a whole lot of time for this to happen when you're at work and you need to get along with somebody who hasn't got along with you at least enough to get some information out of them. You don't have, you know, I'm trying to put this in everyday life, what God has given you, okay? You don't have time when you're at a meeting at church at work, well, church too maybe, when it's a strategy meeting and you need to come up with something because you're on a deadline. You don't have time to, well, you know, if we spend some time, maybe if we fast and pray and I'll come back to you. But if you could go into the Father.
It's instantaneous.
Who is all knowing, all, you know. And he could download something into you and it would flow out of you.
Mm-hmm.
That would do to you what it did for Joseph when he had been in prison, but he was able to give a word to Pharaoh. And I have not seen wisdom like that. Dude, you're second in charge of my kingdom.
That's a quick promotion. And by the way, we are in a season, you may have noticed, that, you know, God's been accelerating time. He's been moving more quickly. Things are going to be happening more quickly. We're not going to have weeks and weeks to mull over whether we're supposed to do this or that. There will be times when he's going to say, okay, I want you to move on this, and we're going to need to be nimble enough to respond. So it's very helpful to have this understanding as a confidence builder and an assurance that, oh, I can be in him and he can be in me, and we are partnering together on
this. In my small group this Sunday, last night, small group of guys that meet, we did this. For one of the guys that needed some financial decision, and he was, should I? He's a very smart guy. He's a nuclear nerd. It's not like he's stupid. But he was making poor decisions, and he was afraid about making poor ones this. And so the group did this thing, which I'm describing to him. Went up to the Father, wrapped him in light. And then God showed us a couple things. You know, you're talking about doing this, but that's really a lower plan. It's not a right or wrong thing, but it's going to take up a lot of your time, and you're not even interested in that kind of stuff. And you're trading on a lower trading floor than what you want to be trading on. Instead, God gave somebody else a word. You know, all these things that you put together, that you actually have some paperwork that I see you taking it, put them all on the table, spread out, and God highlighting phrases or words on that, and that's what you're supposed to do. So he was going to get a word of knowledge. He got a word of knowledge that the guy was going to get a word of knowledge, really what that was.
So cool.
Okay, you see how, but this is what we did. We went up in the Lord, and the whole point is to release, it's easy to forget that, but the whole point is to release the love of God, because God is so intensely in love. He wants you to succeed in every level you can.
And coming, yeah.
And so you go in there, and, you know, if, say you're feeling befuddled for whatever reason, you know, you've been, listen to this, you know, this advice here. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's hard for me to hear God now. And guys, can you help me out? That's why God put us in the church, for that type of reason. But this is in a marketplace for this guy, all right? So this is what's opening up to you with all this stuff.
God wants to be available to you in every part of your life. And we tend to segment him and just, you know, oh, let's go worship God at church and that's it. But as you said, Mike, earlier, that it's about spending time with the Father all the time.
So,
and partnering with him. For instance, all the way down to the little things like I'll say, God, what would you like me to write about today? You know, what would you like me to write? And then every time I write the newsletter for our ministry, I say, what do you want me to write about? And I'll ask him, you know, just invite him in, you know, he gives me an idea.
So this is what I'd like to do with your permission, Pastor Clay.
Exercise.
I'd like you all to do exercise. What I want you to do, I'm going to describe what the exercise is, and then I'm going to turn off the microphone, and, you know, they don't need to hear what it is. But the exercise is this. Let me read this again. You connect in the spirit with the love of God, or actually in the presence of God, preferably the Father, but it could be Jesus. Send that love to the other person and see them recreated in the goodness and joy and peace. Go up in the Father, go up in Jesus. From that place, release the light of God around Clay, Pastor Clay. And by the way, if you see any darkness, don't name it. Just tell it, get out of here. Don't name it, because I don't want you.
Don't dwell on it, yeah.
Yeah, because
What you focus on,
the darkness is there to distract you. It's not because there's something wrong with him. Okay, you call forth, when you deal with people in the marketplace in particular, you call forth the image of God in them. You always speak to that. In fact, my friend, the same guy last night, said, you know, I know you. telling me, I know you overshadow me because I'm the leader of the group and so I want to know how they're feeling. I said, yes, I do, but I'm not looking for darkness, I'm looking for the light. He said, oh, yeah, he got it. I know you do that. Because I'm looking for the image of God and calling it forth. Because if the light gets called forth, the darkness can't stay there. So I'm not worried about the darkness. That's why I don't even bother naming it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't care what your name is. Get out. You're in my realm. Out.
Yep.
You know? So that little correction, edification, exhortation, comfort. Remember? 1 Corinthians? That's the 14:3, right.
That triangle applies in all
That's how you apply it in this way. So we look, go into the Father, and you can start right now. If you have to imagine a couple things you can do to help, that it actually works for non-believers. Tell them that you're aiming a beam of light from your hand, and you are, by the way. It's the glory of God coming through you. You are the light of the world. You aim it like a big flashlight at them, and you can tell the person this is where they cooperate with you. You can tell the person, I want you to imagine receiving the light and just relax into the light. And when they do that, they've given their will into the glory of God that you are releasing. Okay? It's not about you. It's about God. That's why I said you always start there, up and down before you go to and fro. You always go into the Lord, into the Father or into Jesus. Okay? So, I want you to go up. If you have to close your eyes, it's okay to concentrate. But I want you to see the Father, see Jesus, whichever one you're going to. Grab hold of their hands and take in the energy that they're giving you. And you can keep one hand on and aim the other hand at Pastor Clay. Pastor Clay, your job is just to receive. So imagine you got 3-6 flashlights coming at you. And we're going to do this for about a minute and then we're going to keep doing it, but you can tell me what you see. Now I see all your beams are hitting. And actually what's happening is it's like a bubble of light around him and the bubble is expanding. And it's a safe place to be, by the way. And Pastor Clay, I see you relaxing. I see your soul like, ha. Oh. And you release the light of God, and you can say now in your mind, in your thoughts, say now, I also release to you the love of the Father, the love of God. And what's beginning to happen, there's been some dissonance. That means that something's out of alignment, you know, like a musical notes. But Pastor Clay is getting retuned right now in his body because he's got a lot of fatigue, but also his soul. That's what I see happening. You guys, what do you got? That's I'm gonna stop it here.